All right, let's go to John chapter 8 and verse 22. And I'm going to read a verse in Romans also, chapter 6, verse 18. I'll talk to you for a few minutes about freedom. What do you think freedom is? What do you think it is to be free? You be able to do what you want to, anytime, anywhere? Well, we'll see. John chapter 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, a lot of people don't understand what Jesus was really talking about there. Romans 6, verse 18 says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now, there's just a few simple truths that I want to try to get to stick in your mind tonight. And one of them is this. Freedom is impossible unless sin is dealt with. Freedom is not the freedom to just do as you wish, anytime you wish, anywhere you wish, with anybody you wish. Freedom is not the release of all restraints upon you. There can be no freedom unless sin is dealt with. All oppression is because of sin. You know, we're looking around at our country and we're losing our freedoms. And a lot of people are crying about it. You know, we're losing our freedoms. Well, it's very simple why we're losing our freedoms. Because people are so lawless. Yes. You can't have anarchy and everybody just running amok and doing as they please. They run over each other and then it just won't work. I'll get ahead of myself. I ain't careful here. Where sin abounds, there can be no liberty. Freedom is when you can leave your house and not lock the doors. We were talking the other night about back when we first got married, and you know, a lot of times you didn't even lock your house. And up until here pretty recently, I've knew several people around it. They never locked their house. Better lock your house now when you leave. Because back when we were free, you didn't have to worry about stuff like that. When you're free, you don't have to worry about what other people are going to do to you. When it gets to the place where you can't trust nobody and everybody's doing, they're thieving and stealing and doing all kinds of violence to other people all the time, you're not free anymore. You got to watch everything. Got to carry a gun everywhere you go. I mean, that's not freedom. We shouldn't have to go around armed if we go to Walmart or anywhere else. But we do now, don't we? So where sin abounds, there can be no freedom. Freedom's when you can trust a man's word as his bond. Freedom is when you can let your children play outside without fear of somebody hurting them. It was a lot more free when I was a kid because we lived right down here and we'd sleep on the ground in the yard when we were little bitty kids. I remember Mom putting us on a blanket out in the yard. All three of us, and Keith, he couldn't have been more than 4 or 5 years old. I mean, because he was in the middle, and all three of us laid out in the yard. Mom just covered us up and said, see you in the morning, and went to bed in the house. Nobody got us. She wasn't worried about anybody getting us. There wasn't nobody going to bother us. I would strongly advise you not to try that now. What's the difference? There wasn't no sin back. Yeah, there was sin back there, but sin didn't abound like it does now. The scales have tipped and things have changed, and so there's much the depth of sin and the it's the overwhelming influence now over everything. It's run amok, and so there's no freedom. You know, you hear a lot of boasting about our freedom in America. You know, land of the free. How can that be? Home of the free and land and the home of the brave, yeah. But we're not living in freedom anymore. Who can kid themselves about that? It's not a relative thing. You know, we can't just compare ourselves to China or North Korea and say, boy, we're free here. That's not how you determine freedom. Charles Carroll was a signer of the Constitution from Maryland, and he wrote this on November the 4th, 1800. He said, without morals, a republic cannot subsist any length of time. They, therefore, who are decrying the Christian religion, I guess in the year 1800, there were some jokers around griping about Christian influence on the government.
Right.
He said, those who are decrying the Christian religion, whose morality is so sublime and pure, and which ensures to the good eternal happiness, they are undermining the solid foundation of morals, the best security for the duration of free governments. And he's exactly right. And he wasn't the only founding father that felt that way and believed that way. It's true. You can't have freedom. You can't let a people live free if they won't treat each other right. That's morality. You got to have some standard of morals, and it's got to be God's, not some a bunch of foolishness that men have made up. That's what we're trying to live by now. See, kick God out. Throw away. Don't let the kids see the Ten Commandments. Don't let them pray or hear anybody pray. Don't talk about Jesus. Get rid of them Bibles. Shut down the churches. And then they want you to not steal and not do all these other immoral things. But why should anybody listen to them? What moral authority do they have? Does any government, any person have? What moral authority do they have when they say that religion is evil and sodomy is okay? Or abortion? Or any of the other wicked things that they sanction now? Our government does. And everybody else does. And most people who say they're Christians do too. They sympathize with them and criticize and condemn you and judge you if you just read out of the Bible what it says about that sin. They call you unloving and you're cruel and hateful.
Yeah.
No, man was free in the Garden of Eden until sin entered there. That was real freedom. There was only one another and God. Adam and Eve and God. That's all was there. Now that they were free. No fear, no pain, no suffering, no injustice, no oppression, no lack for anything. But sin brought thorns and thistles and pain and separation and sorrow and death. And plus a bunch of other things. Murder and hatred and all that. Sin brought blame and accusations and excuses. Sure did ruin everything, didn't it? They were driven out of the garden. They weren't asked to leave. They weren't escorted out. They were driven out of the garden. Lest they take of the tree of life. Sin brought all of this trouble between man and wife and between man and God. They had to be driven out of the garden because he could not be trusted anymore. So there's not the freedom there anymore. The freedom was gone. They were free. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is in the midst of the garden. So ever since sin entered into the world, we go through these cycles of freedom and bondage. When sin is unrestrained, it brings the whole society into such bondage and oppression that it's eventually unbearable. Y'all listening to me?
Yes, sir.
This is truth. This is true. This is how it happens. It reaches a point where your labor is for someone else, and sustaining your very life becomes all that life is about. You'd understand a little better if you could be transported down to Venezuela for a while. Spend a few weeks down there. Just see how it is. People struggling. They don't talk about it on the news now because there's too many other things to talk about. They just put that aside and don't talk about it like they always do about everything else. You could have a 9-magnitude earthquake now and they wouldn't even mention it in the news because they're too busy talking about all this other junk. But try to live down there where life is just about trying to stay alive. Why is it that way? Didn't used to be that way down there. Used to be one of the most prosperous countries in this hemisphere. I mean, they were, everything is a jewel. South Africa was the same way. Boy, how things change when you cast God out and turn God's order all upside down. It reaches a point where that's all your labor is for, is for somebody else. Our ancestors threw the Boston Tea Party and rebelled against England and fought a war over, what was it, 2% tax?
Taxes, yep.
What are we paying now? Yeah, income tax, sales tax, property tax, personal property tax, real estate tax, real estate tax.
Yep.
Everything's taxed. You buy a car and you pay sales tax. Then you got to go pay tax and a form of a license to operate your car. And then every year, the county sends you a bill for property tax on that car that you paid sales tax on. Tax, tax, tax. I don't even know the figures, but I just know that we're way farther in down than what they were, and they fought a war over it. But that wasn't the only thing they were fighting the war over, money issues. But it comes to that point. Sin brings you to that point, brings this society to that point, to where all you're doing is working for somebody else, the government, somebody that's taking it and doing like they did with this stimulus thing. What was you saying today? What was the number? If you gave everybody in the United States, 300 and some million people, if you gave every one of them $600, it wouldn't come up to even a fourth, less than a fourth of that $900 billion stimulus package.
Right.
Where's all that money going to? Overseas. One of the congressmen had a buddy over there in Sri Lanka that his boat was broke down, so they gave him $15 million was going to fix that boat. Yes. Millions and millions of dollars to different countries for gender issues and education and stuff. I mean, they're going to help us. They didn't give the small businesses nothing. Yeah. But that's what it's like when sin brings you down. That's not freedom. That's not freedom. If there was an ounce of any morality in any of them jokers, they would pass a stimulus bill if they're going to do anything, and it wouldn't cost near what they're spending, see? The last one was even more outlandish. It was over $2 trillion, and most of it went overseas into other things. That's the way it is. When you lose your freedom in a nation, there you divide the classes. See, and you got this ruling class that just lives like kings, and they don't have any want for anything, and they just waste the money like it's nothing. And then everybody else just works like minions and just pays whatever they have to pay. But it gets to a point where it's unbearable. The oppressors, they grow weary of their sinful carnal pleasures, and then they begin to invent ways just to inflict injury and misery on the oppressed as a way of bringing themselves pleasure. We're at that point now. Do you honestly think that squad, that bunch of ignorant, uneducated women that are in Congress, are really concerned about the things they say they're concerned about? They are hate-filled people. They hate our country. That means they hate you. They hate God. They hate Christianity. They hate anybody that's got anything to do with it. Anybody that loves this country, they hate them too. And so everything they're doing is just to hurt and destroy. And that's right. That's the point you get to. You get to the point where that's what the rulers are doing. In Rome, they had Colosseums, and that was what they did. They just used Christians for bait for the lions and stuff so they could watch them and get pleasure out of it. They lit them, they'd cover them with tar and stuff and tie them on a post and light them on fire to light their highways with. just to have fun, just for fun, just to please their wicked, evil, perverted selves. That's what we got in Washington, D.C., and in most of the states, too. It's not as bad, I don't think, in the states, most of them, as it is in Washington. That is one sewer, if there ever was one.
Yes, sir. Wicked place.
Life becomes so miserable for the oppressed that they're willing rather to die than to remain in their unbearable situation. It's a shame that it has to go that far. But that's the way it is with man and his nature, and we've talked about that before, that good people just don't want to fight, and they won't fight until they're forced to fight. And that's the way it works. It gets down to the point where you'd be better off dead. What'd Patrick Henry say?
Give me liberty
or give me death. The rest of you, as for me, give me liberty or give me death. I'd rather die than to live under the thumb of this despot. And that's where it comes to. Freedom is lost, and you get to that point. They appeal to God for help. That's what our ancestors did here. We can see it in Israel through all of the cycles in Israel, in the history of Israel, that the Bible gives us how that this happened over and over and over. They would be serving God, and then they would start sinning. They'd turn to their idols, and then they would be deconquered by the Philistines, usually by the Hittites and all of the people around them, the nations that God had told them to get rid of, but they didn't. They would come and invade them and oppress them. That's what was happening when Gideon was threshing wheat, you know, hiding out and threshing wheat. They were unarmed. They'd taken away every sword. You know, they didn't have anything to fight with. They were oppressed. And so they call out to God. You can read in the Psalms how that over and over they cried out to God and God heard them. And he sent a deliverer, a man who would lead and stand against the oppressors. And then there'd be a spiritual awakening and a turning to God and a forsaking of sin, which was usually pretty short-lived. The oppressors are eliminated and the people are able to live in freedom for a while, as long as they regard the law of God and obey the laws of God. They get to live in freedom for a little while. That's what's happened here. This used to be a free country. It's not anymore. Don't kid yourself. I've lived in another country for a while, and it's just freer there than it is here. That's right. You can do anything you want. That's right. But it doesn't take long for people to redefine freedom as being able to do what you want without regard for anybody else. That's what's happened in our country. Freedom has been taken and redefined and distorted and perverted to mean you can walk down the street naked if you want to.
Right. Yep.
Mean you can be profane in public if you want to. Nobody should do anything about it. You can offend people in any way you want, except religiously. And that's only if you're a Christian. And that's only if you're a Bible-believing Christian. Then that is not permitted. But everything else is. That's how it gets, isn't it? It's turned upside down that way. So as soon as that happens, freedom begins to die. As soon as you start defining freedom as just the liberty to do whatever you want, anytime you want. Everybody's got we're free, so I've got a right to do anything to you I want to do. Well, because of the disregard for others, injustice begins, and therefore man-made laws have to replace God's laws. We live out in the country. You know, Back in Virginia, they got where we lived, they had all these building codes and everything. You had to get a permit for anything you went to do. And it's that way in all these big cities. You're going to change out your water heater. You got to go down, get a permit, give them money. And you got to do it just like they say. And they've got to come and look at it and inspect it and make sure that you did it just like they told you to do it. You're not free. Why do they have to do stuff like that? Well, because people won't do right. You know, sewer fields, you know, septic fields and stuff like that. Oh, my. But you know why they made rules like that? Because of the jokers that just run it out in the ditch, like over at Mill Spring.
Right. Right. That's right.
You know, they had a pipe just running right out in the ditch by the highway, running their sewer out there. So that's why, you know, when people get to where they don't care about nobody, I'll do as I please, and if you don't like it, look the other way.
Yep.
When it gets that way, then they make laws to make you stop doing stuff like that. But because man's not as wise as God, his laws are flawed, and they only complicate things and cause more injustices, which calls for more man-made laws. That's why you can't even count the laws in this country. That's why that even lawyers can't keep up with all of the laws. That's why the regulations and the codes and every business is so regulated that you have to have somebody or a group of people all the time trying to figure out if we're legal or not.
Yep.
Ain't that right? Nursing home? Yep.
Yes, sir.
Robert always told me nursing homes are second most regulated industry in the United States. The only one that's regulated more than nursing homes is the nuclear industry. So there's more rules and regulations and guidelines, and they force all of it on you. And how well are the people taken care of in the nursing homes for the most part? Man's law don't work very good. We'd be much better off to stick with God. His is much simpler, more straightforward, and as long as we just obey God's law, we won't have any need for all these other laws. But as freedom diminishes because sin increases, then man tries to take over and tries to rule himself and everybody morally with his own foolish, messed up mind. While men are pursuing what they call freedom, while they forsake God, they're putting themselves back into bondage that their fathers delivered them from at the price of blood. Sure going to be bad when a lot of people in our day have to face the people who gave us the freedom to start with. And plus all the men who died in all the wars through the last 240 some years to preserve it, and how it's been squandered in our day to give sodomites the right and to give everybody else their rights. All these pedophiles and perverts of our day. That's where we're going. We're going deeper in. It's getting, I mean, this thing's, we're circling the drain, people. I know that's not encouraging, but in a way it ought to be, because we got a God who deals with situations.
Yes, sir.
He gets to a certain point, and I guarantee you, you can be assured that God will move. He'll act. We were talking there today about he came down to Abraham and he told him what he was going to do to Sodom. And he said to Abraham, because the cry of Sodom has come up into heaven, he has reached. He said, I came down to see if it's really as bad as the cry that I've heard.
My goodness.
And it was. And God destroyed the place.
Yes.
And, you know, we're facing the same situation here. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
There's no true freedom without Jesus Christ. Now, the verse we read was John 8, verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, what the freedom he's talking about is not the same kind of freedom that I've been talking about for the last few minutes.
Right.
Sin brings bondage and death. The law of God brings life, liberty, and peace. It does that in your soul. But it also does that in a nation, in a people. Psalm 119, verse 45. He said, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. You see how it's connected there? If you seek God's law, if you seek God's precepts, if you seek to live according to the way God tells us to live in his book here, you get liberty. You're free. Everybody thinks the law of God is bondage, but the law is perfect liberty. Liberty means freedom from restraint in a general sense and applicable to the body or to the will or mind. The body is at liberty when not confined. The body. You can lock you up in jail and you're not at liberty. You're confined. You're jailed. You're caged. When not confined. The will or mind is at liberty when not checked or controlled. Ah, listen. A man enjoys liberty when no physical force operates to restrain his actions or volitions, choices, his will. So, what the freedom that Jesus is talking about here, and that second verse I read out of Romans chapter 6, where it says, being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. You became the servants of righteousness. You see, where the liberty, real Christian liberty, is that you're free from being controlled by sin and your lust and the world around you and the devils from hell that try to deceive you and tempt you and drag you into it. You're free from that. The true Christian can walk at liberty in his soul even if he's oppressed by a corrupt worldly government. Get it? So what if we live in a country that oppresses us in our physical lives? So what? Well, they're taxing us to death. Well, they asked Jesus about that, you know, a couple of times. Should we pay taxes to Caesar? They did that tempting him. And then another time they came to collect, and Peter said, what are we going to pay him with? Jesus said, just go out there and catch fish. The first fish you catch, open his mouth. There'll be some money in there. To pay and go pay your taxes and mine. Render unto Caesar the things that belong to Caesar. You can live in liberty even if you're in an oppressive, under an oppressive government. You can live at liberty. You don't have to be bound to do what they, what everybody else does. You understand that at all? I ain't getting that across very good. Let's see if we can do any better here. The freedom Christ gives makes this possible, which in turn makes it possible to have a society of people who can live together in freedom from oppression and danger and fear from others. It's the root of freedom is Jesus Christ, see?
Yes.
I hope you can see what I'm trying to get across to you. We've lost our freedom because of the wickedness of our people.
Right.
Because we've allowed wickedness to prevail and have be in the ascent in the church, then it does that in our whole country.
Yep.
Everybody talks about the church being influenced by the world, but it's really the other way around.
Right.
The world just goes, whatever the church does, that's the way the world goes. When the church lets up and starts letting us in, the world just goes bananas. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth.
Yes, sir.
It's when we let down is when the boat starts sinking. It's when we give up on righteousness, that's when everybody in our country loses their freedom. If we're free in Christ, if Jesus makes us free through his truth, we're free, then we can live together. The more people that are saved, the more freedom there will be. The more people that serve God in truth and righteousness, the freer our country will be. You see these dark places around the world. There's a reason for that. There's a reason Africa was always called the dark continent. You know, I was reading the other day, I've been reading a lot of this Western stuff and the Indians and, you know, American Indians, and You know, if anybody got a bad deal, they did. Yes. All these blacks are griping about what's happened to them, and that's terrible. But the American Indians got done way worse than they did. Yep. That absolutely is a fact. But people go bananas with their thinking. It's funny to me that there's no breaks on people's minds, and they'll just swallow anything that comes along. I read one the other day, and he's talking about how the Indians just lived. They were free. And, you know, they just didn't have no laws because they didn't need any laws. Because people didn't do this and didn't do that. Well, what kind of fantasy? You know, what have you been smoking? I mean, it don't matter, folks are folks. It don't matter what color their skin is, where they lived, when they lived. They do the same thing. They steal and they kill and they commit adultery and they fight and kill each other. And that's exactly what they were doing. You know, that's the way the Indians lived. They were not free. They lived in fear all the time because other tribes would come and kill all of your people and take your stuff. That's what they did. That's how their life was lived.
Yes.
That's anarchy. That's not freedom. And in anarchy, there is no freedom. You live in fear. What did I tell you a while ago about freedom? It's when you can trust somebody at his word. It's when you can lay down at night and not worry about locking your door. It's when you can go off and leave your stuff and not worry about somebody stealing it. It's when you can go and let your kids play outside without worrying about somebody grabbing them and running off with them. It's freedom is when you don't have to live in fear. And so when you're living in fear, you're not free. The true Christian is free from being controlled by peer pressure and lust and the world. Now, this is bondage. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Well, now that's bondage. You're not getting to, something's interfering with your volition, your choice, your will. You want to do right, but you can't. Well, that's the freedom Jesus is talking about that he gives.
Yes, sir.
He frees you from that.
Yes, sir. Sure.
Every Baptist needs to hear that.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from what? What in the world is they talking about? I saw a picture the other day, and it was Jesus on the cross. And I don't like pictures that very much like that, but this one was different. It was kind of a new twist on it. But you know the picture of the soldiers raising the flag on Iwo Jima after they lost 8,000 men or something trying to take that little piece of ground? Well, it was the Roman soldiers raising the cross, you know, dropping, holding the same pose. I told her, well, that's kind of interesting because, you know, when they raised that flag, that was after a great price was paid for that victory. It cost an awful lot for them to do that. And when Jesus was crucified and died, he won. It is finished. And I've told you before, you know, Brother Rice minced those words out, and he said that really was a cry that they used back then when they won a battle to shout victory.
Yeah.
What he said was victory. And that's what he said to the disciples in John 16, the last verse there. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So what is this victory? What is this freedom that he gives us? Well, it's the freedom to exercise your will against sin and to do righteousness. None of this stuff anymore about I want to do right, but I can't. I try, but I fail. It's just the way it is. I just can't. I want to, but I end up doing what I hate every time. That's not a real Christian. What's my people? What did Jesus give you? What is that freedom he's talking about? That ain't freedom. That is a perfect example of bondage.
Yes, sir. It sure is.
Chains. That's chains. Mm-hmm. I thought the chains were gone. The sign language for salvation is bound and free. Yeah, and then finished. Selfishness is the seed of all sin. And when freedom is redefined and misunderstood as unrestrained selfishness, then sin becomes the ruling principle in everything. You hear me? Selfishness is the seed of all sin. So when freedom is redefined as just unrestrained selfishness, you can do whatever you want to do. You can have whatever you want to have. You're free to loot the stores if you want to. You're free to burn them down if you just feel like it, if you're upset. You can just burn down the whole town. They're free, free. That's not freedom. That's the worst kind of bondage. You say they're free, but what about the people that whose store they're burning down or looting? Yeah. What about the people they're shooting and murdering? That's why abortion's legal. Why sodomy's legal? It's not just two consenting adults anymore. That's the way they started out. That was their cry at the beginning. It's nobody's business what two consenting adults do in the privacy of their own home. Well, that ain't the way they look at it now, is it? They're more like now, they're more, much more like the sodomites that were at Lot's door, saying, we're going to knock this door down and we'll do worse to you than him if you don't throw him out here to us. That's how they are now. We want your kids. We're going to get your kids. We're going to teach your kids. And you ain't going to stop us. That's what they're saying. Well, what about freedom? I thought everybody was free. Not me. That's what they say. We are, but not you. We can do what we please, but you better keep your mouth shut. Now, that's what freedom turns into when you turn sin loose. When you say freedom is what being able to do whatever you want to. You give wicked people that license and you lose your freedom. You get under bondage real quick. And you become the oppressed real quick. When anybody's given the right to unrestrained selfishness, somebody else is inevitably oppressed. Those who demand their right to do as they please in the name of freedom never recognize the fact that they're depriving somebody else of their freedom. You know, it's funny how these people who are for abortion and stuff, how they won't even talk to you. How they won't answer. They have no answers. When you just present the facts, you know, and just ask them straight up, you really believe that's right? You know, look at this picture. You believe that's right? No, they don't want. They want to make it illegal to have pictures like that. Right. Yeah. They want to make it illegal for you. Their answer to defend their wickedness is to shut you up. Exactly. This election we just had. How come nobody can say anything? You say anything on Facebook, they put this big white box over it. You know. They don't do that to everybody. Just the ones who recognize the fraud and the and the injustice.
Yep. Yep.
And we're like, this is a free country. You fool. It ain't no free country. Ain't you got no eyes to see? Come on. What in the world would be wrong if somebody would say that? I mean, it's getting, you know, 20 years ago, we wouldn't have believed that it would be happening like it's happening right now. We were griping back then and hollering back then about all the stuff that was going on. We thought Clinton was bad. Look where we are now. Freedom. When freedom isn't understood correctly, it becomes the tool and the weapon of the oppressors. See, they've used the laws that were given to us to provide our freedom. They've used them against righteousness. They've turned this whole thing into oppression, which was meant to be freedom. You understand what I'm saying here? When freedom isn't understood correctly, it becomes a tool and weapon of the oppressors. How did the Sodomites get this right they've got? Freedom of speech.
Yep.
That's what they used. Yeah.
Yep.
In the Bill of Rights.
Yep.
Freedom of speech. That's what they used. Didn't have to use nothing else. Ain't nothing else in the Constitution that would possibly give them any kind of right like they've got. We got gay marriage that's legal, sanctioned by the government.
Yep.
Force people. I mean, they would actually try to force the preachers to marry gay couples.
Yep.
And a bunch of them will do it because they're bought out. They done sold out to the government a long time ago. What about my freedoms? I mean, don't I get a right to have an opinion? Don't I have any freedom to believe what I want to believe about the Bible and what it teaches?
Not
here. No. Not from the government. So where am I going to get any freedom? Well, I got to get it from God. I got to look to God. He's my king. He's my Lord. It's his law that I live under.
Yep.
And so it's his law that I'll obey first.
Yes.
Because I'm free. I'm free under God.
Yep.
I can do what God tells me to do. I can say what God tells me to say. Old Micaiah could do it even when Ahab was the king. That's right.
Yep.
And preachers still can. If they're real, and if God has called them, and if they believe the Word of God, they can still tell the truth.
That's right.
No matter what the government says.
Amen.
You can do it in China. You can do it in North Korea. You can do it anywhere on this planet.
Yep.
Can't pray in school. Well, I'd like to see them try to stop me from praying in school if I wanted to pray in school.
Yeah, for sure.
How are they going to stop me? How can you stop somebody from praying? How do you even know if they're praying?
Exactly.
The king of Babylon told Daniel not to pray. Man, he was in a real good position there. What could it cost him? Everything. Even his life. That's what they did. They even throw him in the lion's den. Because he prayed. Anyway, when they said you can't do that, you no longer have the right to pray. Well, he opened the windows and prayed just like he always did. He didn't hide to do it.
Nope.
He didn't hide and say, I'm going to hide and pray so they don't see me because I don't want to upset nobody. He didn't do that. He just did like he always did. Mm-hmm. Let them know that they were entering into an area of his life where they had no right. And that's just, and you need to understand that too. The government doesn't have rights when it comes to telling us how to worship, what to believe, when to do it, or anything like that. I'm just about done here. Hang on a second. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. The Bible says, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Do you know what the communists always use? What is their cry when they try to take over any country? That freedom. They're offering freedom. And prosperity. And make sure everybody's taken care of. They tell them they're going to be free. But are they free? Once they get control, are they free? No. Not at all. They promise them liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, the same as he brought in bondage. Bondage and oppression make a miserable environment in a home. Bondage and oppression. There has to be liberty. Well, what is liberty? When it comes to being a Christian, what is liberty? It's freedom from sin.
Right.
Yes, sir.
It's freedom from this old thing of just trying to do right but can't never do it. You're free from that.
Yes, sir.
You can do it. You can do right. You can say no to sin.
Yes, sir.
They won't even tell you that in churches anymore.
No.
They will not tell you that. They tell you just the opposite. You can't help it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it every day. You're probably doing it right now. I've even heard preachers say they sin every minute. That you can't live. I've heard them say it from the pulpit. You can't live 1 minute without sinning. And if you say you are, you're a liar and you're a fool. Well, I got one question for them. What is Christian liberty then? Most of them believe it's the liberty to drink, to smoke, to cuss, do whatever. You know, you're free to do all that. It's okay. You got a license to sin. Well, it's bad and wrong.
Yes, sir.
Bondage and oppression make a miserable environment. You want to be free? You want to be free indeed? Free from sin and its power? You want to be free in your life? You want to be able to live free in safety and security? Well, we got to have a country that exalts God and puts God first. Yeah, what about in a church? Bondage and oppression. It's a miserable environment in a church. And a lot of churches operate that way. It's a bondage and it's oppression. They go because they feel like you have to. And they give because they feel like you have to. And they get shamed if they don't. And they get threatened and talked about. And it's always just this... I mean, I've went to church for a lot of years where it was just a burden and a bondage and an oppression. There was not liberty there, and I ain't getting this cross. But I mean, I'm just telling you how I went to church when it wasn't a pleasure to go to church. Maybe somebody here says, boy, that's the way I feel right now. In a nation... Or in the world. Boy, the world's fixing to find out what it's like to be oppressed. This world is about to find out what it's like to not have any freedom. That's what's fixing to happen. That man is fixing to appear here. He's going to promise everybody liberty. Promise everybody peace and security and safety. And going to fix all the problems. And everybody's going to take the bait. Then they're going to find out what it's like.
Yep,
that's real right. Oppression.
That's right.
Real bondage. God's basic moral law is the key to living in liberty and freedom. Luke 6:31, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. You ought to know that it's the word of God because Jesus took it and put it in that few words. That's just it. People call it the golden rule. It's the law of God summed up in as few words as can be done. As you would that others, as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. You know when somebody wrongs you. So don't do that to somebody else. Simple. Now if everybody lived like that, you wouldn't have locked your doors. You let your kids play outside. You wouldn't have to worry about somebody stealing your stuff. You wouldn't carry a gun with you when you went anywhere. If everybody just lived like that. And freedom would be possible even if most would live like that, see? That's why we enjoyed the degree of freedom that we had for years, because the ruling influence on our country was the Word of God. I mean, I remember when you didn't dare say you didn't believe the Bible. I mean, that was like the final thing. Well, the Bible says, and just about everybody would say, well, you know, the Bible says, even if they were a drunk, even if they were a whoremonger, even if they were a thief, they still regarded the Word of God. Oh, boy, they don't now. Not now. They don't bat an eye to blaspheme God.
Sure don't.
And praise their devil gods. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. I read these verses a lot, I know. But I hope you'll remember all of your life. I hope these verses will be drilled into your soul. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. That's the only way that we can be free. It's the only way that we can be free in our homes. You know, if you want your home to be a happy place, kids, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For that's right. If you do what God says, and your mom and dad does what God says, there can be liberty there.
Yeah. Right.
Freedom. When you ask to do something, and they can trust you,
they can
let you do it.
Sure.
But boy, when you betray the trust, and when you violate what's right, then can't be trusted.
That's true.
So your liberty is, it shrinks.
That's
right. It's the way it is. Freedom. You hear a lot of talk about it. It's a word that gets, I hate using these words, but it gets prostituted an awful lot. They talk about it. Evil, selfish, mean people use it as a weapon, that word, to deceive people with, to bring them into bondage. Promising them liberty. Be careful about people that promise you liberty, freedom. You better look at how they live and what they believe. Because I'm telling you, that's what I wanted you to get out of this tonight, is that where sin abounds, there's no freedom. Freedom and licentiousness, and they can't coexist together. It's one or the other. If you want to be free, you got to regard God and His law, and you got to treat other people right. Or else we have to have laws. We got to have a sheriff, and we got to have the police, and we got to have everybody else to make you do it or punish you when you violate somebody else.
Yep.
Do right. It's the only chance for freedom.
Yep.
Wouldn't it be good if you could preach something like this to the Congress? When they have our joint session, wouldn't it be good to just have 45 minutes to tell them what freedom really is?
Right.
And how to have it? Point your finger at them and say, you're robbing us of it. People who founded this country had some wisdom. And there were some godly people there who were able to do that. That's how we got started. They put these things that I've talked about tonight, they put them out there as necessary and required them before they would sign on. That's right. That's how it happened. Different ones. James Madison wrote different things. There are several of them. John Jay, about the thing that I talked about here tonight. George Washington said it plainly. You can't have a nation without God and His law. Can't have freedom. It won't last. It'll only last, one of them said, as long as the people live by the moral law of God. When they stop doing that, it's over. They knew that. He said, we're hanging the hope of this whole thing on the fact that people will serve God and obey His commandments. Well, don't put your hope in the things here, let me tell you. You better put your hope in things above.
Yep.
I've said it for years, and it ain't a popular thing to say, but America is an earthly thing, and it's a temporary thing, and it's sure ain't going to last forever.
No.
And so you better Your king better be Jesus. And your citizenship better be there first. Amen. Now, Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Please help us in this to understand and to live according to what we've learned here tonight. Please bless the week ahead of us and help us, Lord, to be a witness for you. Help us, Lord, to walk close to you this week. Keep our minds tuned to thee. And Lord, help us to have wisdom and light to light the path in front of us in these days ahead. Please go with us now, and I pray each one would make it home safely tonight. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for the good Lord's day in Jesus' name. Amen.